Proverbs 29 and verse number 18. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And we can see, I'm sure there's several interpretations of this verse. We just kind of like to use it as a launching pad for our vision Sunday. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And it's true about anything, really. A church is going to perish if there's no vision. And a business is going to perish if it doesn't have any vision. And you got to be aiming for something. And you constantly have to be going forward. And so I want to talk to you about that tonight. And this is, you know, mostly for the congregation here, but I hope there'll be some things along the way that'll bless all of you that have come tonight. And it just happens to be the first Sunday of the month. So then after this, we're going to have the Lord's Supper before we go home. So we'll all be able to just take some time tonight and remember the Lord Jesus Christ through the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Of course, as I mentioned this morning, I'm sorry that we don't have the new theme plaque up. The man who makes them has been very, very, very faithful over all these years and has never let us down. And I'm sure he didn't mean to let us down at all. He doesn't attend our church, but he is a dear brother in the Lord that's, you know, up in years and retired. He loves doing woodwork, and he makes these beautiful plaques for us for free, never charges us for anything, will never take any money. And so I'm certainly not going to complain. But as you may have noticed in your bulletin today, our theme for this year is going to be godliness. Our theme for this year is going to be godliness. And I know that doesn't really sound that exciting to us humanly. That is in our human nature. But notice what the second part of this verse says. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But notice the second part says this, but he that keepeth the law, what? Happy is he. I mean, one of the strangest sources of happiness to the human race is keeping the law of God. You'll see a lot of people as you go through life who've broken God's laws who will never be happy again. Do you agree with that? You'd be amazed at how many people have said, you can't have any fun, you can't have any happiness following all the do's and don'ts that God has in His Word. And so they leave the church, they leave the Bible behind, and leave the God of their youth behind, and so on and so forth, and they go out and they break every law God's ever written. And what happens to them oftentimes? Oftentimes they live with the consequences of those decisions, and one of the consequences usually is not happiness. It's usually not happiness. In the next book, of the Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, it says in verse 1, to the youth especially, it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I have no pleasure in them. What it's saying here is that sometimes those in their youth do not remember their Creator. And later in life, they say, I have no pleasure in life anymore. And it's kind of funny how many people forsake the law of God trying to find happiness, when all the time it's the keeping of the law of God that brings happiness. And it's something that very few people discover in this life. But I know some of you, for instance, have kept the law of God, for instance, in regards to relationships and so on and so forth, and you've married the right person, and guess what? You've got a happy marriage. God's way worked. Right? But there's a lot of other people, when it comes to personal relationships, that said, I'm not going to do things God's way. I'm going to go out and have a good time. But then the consequences came, and guess what? They don't have anymore. They don't have any more happiness. And some of you, you know that. You've gone through those things, and you've told me about things, and you regrets you have, and so on and so forth, things you can't undo. It's a strange source, isn't it? And I'm going to get to preaching that one of these days this year, the strange source of happiness. Whoso keepeth the law, happy is he. So we're going to talk about godliness as our theme, the keeping of God's laws, doing things God's way, and how it's a blessing in every single realm of life. And hopefully by the end of the year, you'll see that. Maybe right now you don't, but I know a lot of people, they don't want to choose the godly life because they say, oh, that's no fun, and so on and so forth. But it's actually the one that brings happiness. Our theme verse is 1 Timothy 4:8. You can look at it in your bulletin if you want. It says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. The Bible says living a godly life will profit you in this life and in the next life. And one of those profits I've already mentioned tonight is happiness. Happiness. And so godliness, I'm going to try to make it palatable as we bring out the theme of godliness this year. And so that's one of the things we're trying to share with you today in our vision. I want to just look back for a little bit at some of the blessings of last year, and then we will look forward a little bit as we look back over 2008 that just passed. Some of the blessings, I wrote down 10, and there's others I'm missing, and I certainly don't want to slight anyone or offend anybody if I don't mention you or something you're involved in, but I think one of the things that really was a blessing and a highlight of last year was the faithfulness of so many to me. Number one, the faithfulness of so many people. And I thank the good Lord so much for the faithfulness of so many people in this church, faithful at doing little things just consistently. You can depend on them all year long, never get praised, never get a pat on the back, but they're doing it for the Lord. They're maturing. They don't run on the fuel of appreciation. They just do it because it's the right thing to do. And it's what the Lord wants them to do. And they're faithful. And so many of you men and women, we've got some faithful teenagers. Boy, we've got some faithful young people and faithful senior citizens that are just always in their place, in their ministries or whatever it might be. And they're faithful. Another blessing looking back was for the first time, and we'll see this on the report here in a moment, we went over $100,000 in giving to missions. That was a blessing. You'll see the actual amount is around $125,000 that we gave to missions or missionary endeavors. That was the most ever. And boy, that is a blessing. There's so many more coming through, though, like the missionary couple that was here this morning that needs support to get to the Himalayas. And many, many missionaries that have come through here we have not been able to support, but because of many people participating in Faith Promise Missions giving, we were able to give more to missions last year than we ever had. And then third of all, another blessing, these are not in any order of importance, was all-time record offerings. I'll show that to you also in a moment. That's a blessing. Number four, we had a record attendance back on April 6th of 383 people in church at one time. And then another thing last year, as we look back, that was a blessing, as you can see by the sign back there. If you haven't turned around and looked at it in a while, we just celebrated 25 years, the church did, of existence from when we started back in March of 1983. And just 2 months from now, we'll be up to 26 years, but this was our 25th year in ministry as a local church. Another blessing this year was the trip to the Philippines, as we had 10 of our church members go for 2 weeks on a short-term missions trip to the Philippines, and to have them come back and give their testimonies and to see pictures of where they went and souls that were saved. And because of the generosity of people back here to visit those 4 or 5 churches that they did in the Philippines, where we're already supporting the men that are there as pastors, financially and in prayer, and then to be able to leave them. I think each one of them we left with $1,000, which to them is like giving them $100,000, so that they could do the work there in the Philippines. And so many of them that went to the Philippines trip, have come back and have just really found some direction for their lives. We've got some young men in our church, some young ladies in our church now that have just given themselves completely to the Lord and to the Lord's will. And some of them are pursuing missions, and some of them are pursuing other types of full-time service. Not all sure exactly where God is going to lead them. But as the old saying goes, it's a lot easier to steer a moving vehicle than one that's standing still. And we've got some young people, it seems more than ever, that are just going in the direction of the Lord's will for their lives. And some of them, as we'll mention in a few minutes, will be leaving our church to further educate themselves and go on. And that happens. I mean, that happens. We can't keep them all here. And many, many people over the years have left and gone on to the ministry in other places, and we're glad for it. Number seven, we've got the chapel started over in the town of Evans. And we began May of last year with a men's Bible study on Thursday nights. We just started the chapel services over there on Sunday mornings. And they have been small, very small. But we got it going. We've got a little core of people that want to do something for God over in that town. And we are going to keep going forward with that. Number eight, all the souls that were saved and all the literature that was distributed this year. Once again, the Lord gave us the privilege of seeing many, many people saved in church, out at fairs, the Dunkard Fair, the Hamburg Fair, at festivals, and out soul winning and visitation. Some of them have remained in the church and are growing in the Lord. Then we saw this year, I think, a little bit of a revival in our church bus ministry, which has been a very, very difficult ministry to supply with drivers and workers for sure, but also with the laws of New York State becoming so difficult back in 2002 when they classified churches the same as public schools, Sunday schools the same as public schools, and needing to have the same type of transportation the public schools have, which is owning buses that pass DOT inspections two times a year, extremely difficult inspections. And New York State didn't do our churches any favors. Many, many churches have gone out of the bus ministry. Because of that, we have scaled way back, but we've had a revival this year, and I'll show you a report about that here in a little bit, and I want to thank those that have been working there. Wednesday nights, I think, have been exciting. We have a new curriculum we're using on Wednesday nights in our kids' club. That's the Pirate Clubs and the Pee Wee Clubs that were originally designed by Dr. Ron Hamilton, who lost an eye to cancer one time back, I think it was in the 70s, and the kids in his church started calling him Patch the Pirate because he wore a patch over his eyes. And he just developed that into a really, literally a worldwide ministry. And we've been starting to use their curriculum, which I think is going to be a great discipleship tool in the boys and girls of this church as they have work that they've got to do at home, scriptures they've got to memorize at home. And then they come and they learn some things here, learn about music, which doesn't hurt anybody. And so we're looking forward to trying to really promote that and build that up on Wednesday nights and actually have that be kind of a community outreach also, as there are people out in the community that are looking for something for their children to do, and we can see that especially in the growth of the sports programs in any community. A lot of new faces are in the church. Thank the Lord for it. I know Rebecca is always, my daughter's always downstairs every Sunday, and she's with the children, and she mentioned to me at home this afternoon she came upstairs and didn't know half the people up here. Well, that's good. Amen. God sent us a lot of new people lately, and we're glad for them. And some of them are starting to attend, and this one family that's just been attending for a short time, two families in the last couple of weeks have presented themselves to me to say, you know, if we can help, if we can serve in any way, in any capacity in the church, then let us know. Boy, that's a great thing to hear as a pastor. Praise the Lord also for the faithfulness of those of you that have been here for so long, not just the new people, but the old faces too. Not that your faces look old, but that you've been here for a long, long time. Some of you are going on 20 years, 21, 22 years just being here. And Lord willing, I hope we're not treating you like the furniture and getting used to you. But some have been so, so faithful. So faithful for so long. And they're like the pillars in the church that Galatians 2 and verse 9 speaks about, how the Apostle Paul went by Jerusalem one time, and he'd been saved about 20 years, and he got back to Jerusalem, and those three men that were still in the church at Jerusalem, Peter, James, and John, and he called them in Galatians 2 9 the pillars. They seem to be pillars in the church. And you check out the lives of Peter, James, and John. They remained faithful unto death. James died by the sword. Peter, as far as we know, was crucified upside down. And John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos and lived to be 95, 100 years, and wrote his most spiritual books at the end of his life. And he probably served our Lord for almost 70 years faithfully. He wasn't martyred like James and Peter were. They were faithful unto death. He was faithful in his life. And those men were pillars in the church that was at Jerusalem. And I hope you and I will all live to be accused someday of being pillars in the church. Pillars in the church, just faithful. And I think it's wonderful sometimes if I get around to fellowships or something, to go to some church, or go down to Grace of Calvary Baptist Church, and year after year after year after year, you see some of the same people there. Doing the work year after year, just faithful, faithful people. I thank God that we have people like that here. Nevertheless, we have a challenge from the Word of God for us, and I brought this out in the message, I think it was last Sunday, where the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 10, it says, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." Be forward a year ago. There was a little bit of admonition here, a mild rebuke by the Apostle Paul of the church that was at Corinth, because a year ago they had said they were going to do something for God, and it was in the area of giving, but they didn't really get to the doing of it. And then finally, Paul came back a year later and said, "Now, a year ago you made a commitment that you were going to do this." And in verse 11 he says, "Now therefore perform the doing of it." Perform. You made a commitment. He says, "As there was a readiness to will." In other words, what we would call today a resolution, like a New Year's resolution. He said, "A year ago you said you were going to do this, and the churches in the region of Macedonia, they said they were going to do it. They did it. But you didn't. Now you need to get to the performing of it. You need to get to the performing of it and be forward a year ago." I'm so glad that every one of us here tonight, if we so choose, can be forward a year from now where we are tonight. As individuals and as a church. Now, still looking back, we've got a report that we just pass out once a year, and we just kind of go over it, and there's five pages to it, and I'll just kind of go through these quickly, not line by line. You can look it over. But there's so much to rejoice in and to praise the Lord about. Here, the first one is financial. Not that that's the most important. We don't really keep records of how many people get saved and so on, or how can you keep a record of how somebody grows in the Lord? But it's wonderful to see people who have grown in the Lord this year, and others who have been brought to a place of conviction of sin, maybe conviction of a carnal life they've been living, or conviction of a backslidden life they've given, and they've just rededicated their lives to the Lord, like I did one time, after being away from the Lord for some time. And there's no way to keep a record of all the decisions that people have made. Financially, we do keep meticulous records here at the church, and we try to post a report almost every week. Notice the total income of $362,000 plus. That's the best offerings we've ever had as a church. Let me just make a point right here. For the last few years, I've taken certain people aside and I've said, "Would you pray with me about something? Could we just covenant together in prayer?" about the finances in the church, because I don't want it to be a burden. I don't want to be a burden as the pastor. Those that work on staff don't want to be a burden or anything. And I just said, would you begin to pray that God would raise the offerings to in our church to $6,000 a week? $6,000 a week that would come in for the offerings. Well, if you divide this by 52, you come up to almost $7,000 a week. $6,976.22, actually. And that was without begging or pleading from the pulpit. That was without manipulation. Amen? That was without trying to twist anybody's arms for anything. That was just taking it to God in prayer and asking God to move on hearts. Why? So we could do more for the Lord. As I said, so we could help more missionaries and give more to benevolence. As you look at the expenses, the first thing is benevolence. That first line is money that we have given out to the poor this year. Or to the needy. Sometimes there's well-meaning people, hard-working people, and they might lose a job, and they're members of our church. We had a dear member of our church have his basement flood this past week, and he lost so much in his basement. His furnace is shot, his boiler is shot, and the other things he lost in the flood. And I'm glad that we were able to take a large portion of money and give it to a very needy man who's really been growing, really been trying to grow and lead his family closer to the Lord, and that helps. And there's other people, poor people, and sometimes people. And this account right here, this benevolence account, is something that's open to you as a congregation. If you know somebody that has a need, there are men in the church you can approach, or myself, and we can see what we can do to help those people in need. And there's times where other times someone has to humble themselves to the point where they say, you know, I have a need. And we try to help people like that too. I know it's hard sometimes to ask for help, but I thank God for that. And when you get down to the missionary endeavors, the money that we put into the church plant in Angola hasn't been much. The bus ministry, we call them our yellow missionaries. And we send them out to reach souls and bring them to the house of God, the charity house. Almost every penny of what goes into the charity house directly supports missionaries who are traveling through our charity house. Is used sometimes 150 nights a year by our church and four other churches in this area who have visiting missionaries or evangelists, and they stay in that home for free. We've never charged them a penny to stay there so that they can keep that money in their pockets as they go on the deputation trail for missions trying to get to some foreign field. You know how much hotels cost every night and motels? I mean, you take $150, or 150 days rather, and multiply it by $50. And that's a lot of money we've saved missionaries. Sometimes the rooms are more than that, depending on where you go. And then the Faith Promise missions, 99,126 special speakers that have come through. We take up love offerings for them, and that totals 125,000, almost 126,000. If you bring the benevolence down and add it to that, benevolence being the gifts to the poor, that's almost over $135,530 that either directly or indirectly has gone to help people. That's a blessing. That's on the right side, you'll see percentages. This is what we call a budget. I want to encourage every one of you to individually have a budget. And it helps you to know what's going on. Notice utilities, $10,830. How much is that of the budget? Less than 3%. Less than 3%. You know what's good about having a budget? It'll bring you peace. If we didn't have a budget, and we got ourselves some of these $600-$700 gas bills that we get to heat this church up. If I didn't know the percentage that we were spending on utilities, I'd start pulling my hair out. I'd start keeping the temperature down to 55 degrees. I don't care who gets mad. We're not spending all that money on gas. But when you know your budget, when you've got a written budget and you know the percentage, that the percentage we spend on utilities, heat, electric, sewer, phone, and what did I miss? Gas. It's less than 3%. So what does that mean? We keep it warm in the summer or winter? Keep it cool in the summer. We got air conditioning. We run that. And I know we're not breaking the bank doing that. And we're helping people be comfortable. Not that that's the main thing of the church or anything. I'm just trying to bring out why it's important to have a budget, just so you know what's going on at home. I'm surprised how many people keep their houses at about 50 degrees, you know, 45 maybe, in the winter, and they're saving all kinds of money, or they think they are. And actually, all they're doing is freezing. And if they just took their whole picture of the year round and how much money they have coming in and what goes out in utilities, they'll find it's not really that much. And payroll is down to 27.9%. That's six employees of the church right now. That used to be up around 33-34%. It kind of makes me feel good. It's not like we're breaking the bank with those that are working for the church. And boy, I tell you what, they deserve more than they're getting for sure, as hard as they work. But anyways, I'm just saying this is a good report right here. This is the best financial report that we have ever had. And the ending balance is $53,000 that we still have in the bank. We're in the black. And we've paid off the land. Amen? We bought a piece of land back here, an acre and a half, for $35,000. We had up till 2010 to pay it off. The man who owns it, dear friend, been very kind to us. Nice gentleman that owns the Eden Tool and Die. He let us buy the land from him for $35,000, and he held the mortgage at 0%. We've never gone to an institution and borrowed any money. And he said, I'll give you till 2010. And it's just a blessing to be able to pay him off a good year before it was due. It was a good testimony to him. It was a good testimony to him. And so that's, we're out from that now. And we're in the process of developing some of that land right now for parking. The next sheet, the green sheet, is the history of attendances in Eden, and things used to be quite a bit larger when we had a more vibrant bus ministry. The second column from the right, you'll notice the bus ministry has gone down quite a bit after 2002. When we went from running four big buses every Sunday down to one big bus and one small bus now. But the drive-in crowd stayed the same, the one on the right there. And so across the bottom, you'll see last year's attendance records. Nothing really to write home about, but some were up a little, some were down a little bit. And we were able to have a pretty good year attendance-wise, and we look to, as I said, build the parking lot. We've got an expanded auditorium here now that can house more people. And I'm really hoping for some growth this year, for some growth. The third page is the known history of the bus ministry. As I mentioned here, in 2002, we went to running, we went down to three buses and then down to two buses, and it's been very, very difficult. Those working in the bus ministry had the best year they've had in 5 years, and we're glad for that. The last two, not today, but the last two Sundays of the year were like almost blizzard-like conditions and so on. And they ended up with 95 first-time attenders coming on the buses, and that was a blessing. And I thought they were going to reach 100, but we really got blown out with some bad weather there the last couple of weeks. As you'll notice underneath it, Brother Josh Malucci and Sister Lisa Broughton are leaving us in just a couple weeks, going to Bible College in Indiana. And they have been a great help on the bus route where John Updegrove is going every week over to Angola and Evans area and bringing souls to the house of the Lord. Brother Sean O'Mara has been helping him on the route with the Josh and Lisa, but Josh and Lisa will be leaving. So we need some folks that would want to... Yes, is that on here? All right. We need drivers who have CDL licenses. Yeah, I got that on the second paragraph. Pray for drivers, workers, visitors, buses, love, and ideas for bus promotions. Okay? And yes, we always need bus drivers that will get a CDL license and help because all of the responsibility is just falling on a few people right now. And but it was a good year. Appreciate Brother John Updegrove helping keep that one route going, Pastor Seth, Brother Brian Spiller, and those that have been helping down in North Collins with the smaller bus. And we are also starting to run a bus on Wednesday nights now, a small bus to North Collins. Bring some of the community kids in for a double dose of God's Word during the week. That won't hurt any of them. And boy, we're starting to see some of those kids really grow in the Lord. Some of those teens. You know, it's pretty rare you see teens stick it out so long through the bus ministry, but we've seen some that just come week after week after week with no encouragement at home. Would you go to church if you didn't have any encouragement at home? Ever think about that? So sometimes we need to have a little bit more patience for some of these. Sometimes they don't know exactly how to act or behave when they get here, but keep in mind, they've come on their own. And without any, in fact, sometimes with their parents or siblings laughing at them. They've come on their own. And I respect that. And that means a lot. We got some projects we're aiming for on the blue sheet. These mostly have to do, and they're in no particular order. These have to do with grounds and buildings and so on. We've got the parking lot dug up. Brother Tony Bucco has really been using his abilities to help us. We ran out of time this year, and the snows came. But you know, I got a feeling God was in that, and I just, you know, the asphalt went up from $24 a ton to $87 a ton when gas went up to $4 a gallon. And so I was like pulling my hair out saying, where are we going to get $37,000 to asphalt the parking lot when we need $12,000 just to put the stone down? Well, the bottom's falling out on oil. And now you can go get gas some places down the res, $1.50 a gallon. So I'm hoping that it's going to stay down right through the spring, and we'll be able to get the stone down as soon as it clears and then start with the asphalt, I think 2.5 inches, and then an inch of top coat on top of it, and maybe only spend about half as much as if we had rushed through it this past year. Now, we need the parking. When you go outside tonight, I know Brother Jay is trying his hardest here with the plowing and all. But, man, we've got some mounds out there, brother. And he's been out there. I've seen him out there after 11 o'clock at night trying to move snow and stuff. I'm serious with the thing. But you'll notice we've lost 10 parking spaces across the back. And it happens every winter. And so one of the things that's going to try to fix that is having another parking lot down the road. And we'll keep that plowed out. And I appreciate Jay, and I know Chris Barron's been helping out there. It's just been a tough year for snow so far. I don't know if things are going to get any better or worse, but we just bought the bullet yesterday and went out and bought a brand new snow blower for the church, and that's going to help with the sidewalks and things around here, because we have been getting mounds, and the money was there. A little bit special came in for that. And we got us a unit that should outlast me to do these sidewalks and things and save some people's backs. So we're going to be looking to get a bunch of you guys, 10 or 12 of you guys, trained on how to use that thing. And then whoever's here the first, just get the thing out and go to town. And to get her cleared out. And so we're excited about that. Then, of course, we want to level and reseed the athletic field, which is also down by the parking lot, install some basketball rims, build a picnic shelter and pavilion. These aren't necessities. These are just some things we're aiming for. We want to get a suspended ceiling downstairs where the baptistry flooded and leaked through the ceiling and get that installed, repaint the kitchen, refinish cabinets and drawers in the kitchen. Maybe you know how to do some of these things. New tile floor in the upstairs ladies' bathroom. New stanchions in the upstairs ladies' bathroom. Retrim the ladies' window. Make that look really nice in first class. Us men, we don't care. We want to fix that up for the ladies. We've never really done anything in there. We've been in here since 89. By the way, May will be 20 years in this building. May 2009 will be 20 years in this building. Some of you were here back when we opened up the place, and where these pillars were is where the church ended. There was walls right there, and that's all we had. It was this area right here, and then we added that in 1996, and this one in 2002 and 2003. And so we've gotten a little bit more room, and we paid for it as we went. Going to get some new carpet down in the nursery, repaint the nursery, finish the cabinets and drawers in the nursery. All the insulation above this area right here needs to be cleaned out. It's old. It's a fire hazard. We're going to get that cleaned out, and we're going to get some new insulation above the auditorium. And we're going to fabricate and install some new plenums for the air conditioning units. They started to leak. You can see the spots in the ceiling. There's no sense repainting the ceiling until we get the air conditioning unit fixed. Then we're going to paint the auditorium ceiling, the rest of the auditorium, seal and restripe the current parking lot so we can protect that investment that we made years ago, and then purchase and install some new doors out in the front there with the crash bar exits. All right, we want to just aim for these things. I don't know if we'll get them all done, but if you don't aim at anything, you'll hit it every time. Not on here, we have a house down in Irving, the charity house, and we want to build some concrete sidewalks to the stairways from the driveway. We did get the driveway blacktopped this year, if you haven't been out there. We need to do some tree trimming out there, and the entire inside of the house needs to be painted. It hasn't been painted since 1996. I've never heard a complaint about it. And those people that stay in here are so grateful for that little house. So, all right, those are some things that we're aiming for. And then the last sheet here. And by the way, just the doors out here, what were things? Why are we going to get new doors and so on and so forth? If we ever had a fire in this place, this thing would go off like a tinderbox. I mean, this building is old, 1866. And that front door down at the bottom of the steps there on the right, I don't care if you're a linebacker in the NFL, you're not going to get through that door. That thing is that thick, with steel posts going up and down into the threshold and the door jamb. You can't get through that door in an emergency. And we need to take care of that matter. All right, I think it'd be prudent. We've tried to put crash bar exits on all the doors around the building, except that one. That one just got a little round doorknob that hardly works. And by the way, if we ever have a fire, everybody in this room goes out the front doors, okay? That's the plan. We go out the front doors. And you can't get through that door right there. The one on the left you can, but we can't. We got to get that one so they both go out too. That's just something that concerns me sometimes. On your brown sheet, we got some great events coming up. And I'm not going to read all through these. Take time to read through them. And just take this into your prayer closet and pray over it once in a while. Of course, I mentioned April, our big meeting with Dr. Tom Wallace. We're really going to be honored to have him here. God has used him so much. He's not a boaster in any way, shape, or form, but if I just handed you his biography, the things God has done in his life, it's just amazing. It just makes me scratch my head and say, how can somebody accomplish that much in one life? God has really used Brother Tom Wallace. Back in 1980 or 81, I remember one time I heard Dr. Jack Hiles. He was asked at the time, if you ever should die, who's going to pastor this church in Hammond, Indiana? And his answer was, I would like Tom Wallace to pastor this church. And of course, Pastor Hiles lived another 20 years, and his son really grew in the Lord, son-in-law rather, and took over the church when he died, and was doing a great job. But that was actually a statement that was made, and so we're looking forward to having him with us for our anniversary and so on. Let's see, the last thing I want to mention now is just some things that we're looking forward to this year. Not necessarily new things, but just some things that that I think will be a blessing. First of all, starting tomorrow, we're seeing Brother Chris Baer on the deputation trail as a missionary. And he's going to end up in Cebu, Philippines, as a missionary there. And we've been so glad to have him here at our church for the last 12 years and see him grow in the Lord. Amen. And Pastor Seth and him will be leaving tomorrow for Washington, D.C. He's got some important paperwork he's got to do Tuesday down there because he can get a visa, and both his American and Filipino citizenship, which will save him a lot of problems going back and forth to the mission field. Then they're going on to Georgia later in this week to be interviewed with to get some help and the blessings not only of our local church, but a word for the world missions. And so this is a very important week for Chris Barron as he begins his deputation. And you've got to put his name on your prayer list that this will go well for him. And he's Filipino, he's American, he knows the I call it Tagalog, but it's a Tagalog language over there. And he knows some of the culture over there, and he's going to have an easier time fitting into the mission field he's going to than maybe your average American will. And we're just honored about this. This is one of the most exciting things. Then, of course, the parking. I mentioned the parking lot, getting that done in the spring as soon as possible. We're starting the Bible Institute next week, and that'll be at about 5:15 next Sunday afternoon, the Bible Institute. We're teaching Old Testament survey, New Testament survey, personal evangelism and personal finances. That's something we've never done before. We have a database in room 13 back here that we're working on to organize our visitation and soul winning program, and I hope it's going to be more organized than ever. We're going to push the Wednesday night attendances and the Patch the Pirate clubs, Pee Wee clubs, for the children as a real discipleship tool to try to build up the Wednesday attendances. We're going to keep the chapel going over there in the town of Evans. It's just an infant work. We're barely to the chapel stage. But I put it forth before the people this morning, and I want you to help us too, is to pray that by the end of this year, God will give us 30 to 40 people attending the chapel regularly in Evans. And we have a Thursday night meeting there at 7 o'clock. It's very, very small at this time, but I want to encourage you to pray for us that God will give us 20 people who will be coming to the chapel on Thursday nights for the midweek service. And I know that may seem small to some, that vision. It may seem large to others. I don't know, but you got to aim for something. And I believe we could come up with a good nucleus and try to find a building in that town. And I believe there's a lot of people in Evans. There's 21,000 people living there. And I believe we could have a good church over there. I'm willing to help there for the next 2 or 3 years, whatever I'm needed as the pastor there, the pastor here, until we get a building and get it really solvent and bring another pastor in to serve the Lord there and try to plant a lighthouse for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in closing, turn to Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter number 10, and I know I've just gone full gamut about a whole bunch of things, and other things I haven't mentioned, they're still important. But in Numbers chapter 10, we see Moses telling his father-in-law these words. He says, "We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel." And he gives an invitation for others to go with him on the journey that God has laid out for Moses in his life. You know, Moses isn't here anymore. David's not here anymore. It says David served his generation by the will of God. This is our time. This is our journey. This is our church the Lord has given us. It doesn't belong to me. It's ours. It's the Lord's. It's yours. And I want to encourage all of you to come thou with us, and we will do thee good. I know no church is perfect, and sometimes we have things that hurt us or harm us, but for the most part, the church has done us good. The church has been a help to us. And the preaching and teaching and the fellowship and the friendships you can make at church can be a help to us, to you. And I want to encourage you in closing, come thou with us, and we will do thee good. As I mentioned, a couple of families recently that have been attending, started attending this year, have submitted themselves to do something. What can we do? And boy, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. We'd encourage others of you to join us. And we're trying to do the Lord's work here. We're not pretending to be anything we're not. We're trying to be humble. We realize we're unworthy. I was reading yesterday in my devotions using the one-year Bible. Those of you that read it, remember it too. John the Baptist said when Jesus was coming to him, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world." And he said, the Lord said, "I want you to baptize me." And John said, I'm not worthy. I should be baptized of you. He said, "I'm not even worthy to bear your shoes. I'm not even worthy to carry your shoes." I like that attitude. Where somebody looks at the Lord and says, "I'm not even worthy to carry your shoes. But if I can do anything for you, Lord, let me do something." And I hope that you'll have that attitude this year. None of us are worthy to be in this ministry. Many times I get on my knees and say, "Lord, I have to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ." And I think of the Jews. Jesus, the name Jesus means Jehovah, our Savior. And I think of the Jews, how they so reverenced that name, Jehovah, they wouldn't even speak it out loud. And so many times I've gotten up and said, "Lord, I have to preach about Jesus, and I'm not even worthy to mention His name. I'm not worthy to mention His name." Oh, we need to have a humble spirit this year. And all of us, no matter what it is, we should say, "I'm not worthy to work in the nursery. I'm not worthy to work with the children. I'm not worthy to vacuum the carpets for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not worthy to clean the toilets. I'm not worthy to go out on a bus and bring precious souls into the presence of the Lord. I'm not worthy to stand in the children's church and preach the Word of God to these precious eternal souls. I'm not worthy." Well, I want to encourage you to have a humble attitude and say, "We're not worthy of any of this, but thank you, Lord. This is our time. Our lives will be over soon, and then it'll be the next generation. It'll be the next generation." But why not let's see together what we can do for our Lord this year. He's worthy. He is so worthy. And we need to say, "Lord, help us in 2009. While we have this freedom, while we have this liberty in this country, while we can meet in freedom, while we can give, while we can go, while we can pray, let's be forward a year ago when we get there next year." We're going to have a word of prayer now, and then I'm going to read a text out of 1 Corinthians 11 as we share the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight so much in that precious name of Jesus. Oh, how the Jews so reverenced your name, the name of Jehovah, that those scribes would put down their pens and take off their clothes and wash their entire bodies, and then they'd take up their pen and write that name of Jehovah because they wanted to be clean. They so reverenced your name. Oh, that we would reverence and respect the name of Jesus. Lord, this is your church. It's been a good year last year. And Lord, we believe that if God be for us, who can be against us? Lord, what's important is, are we for you? Are we on your side? We pray you'd help us. Help us to grow this year. Help people to be revived. Lord, people be on fire. Help those that are on fire and faithful to stay that way. Thank you for the pillars in the church that are just here for everything and faithful. Oh, God, bless this year. We don't know what is going to happen, but we commit it to thee, and we just be found faithful. Now, Lord Jesus, none of this report from last year, none of this vision for next year would be possible if you hadn't died for us on the cross. We thank you for giving the church the ordinance of the Lord's Supper and baptism. Both show the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ and point us back by faith to remember thee. Lord, help us now just to put everything out of our minds and remember thee. In Jesus' name, amen.